their focus with Owen Beattie. Text or WhatsApp on 0833 97 97 97.
Well, health insurance policyholders with Irish Life can expect to pay more for their cover in just over a month's time. The company has said customers will see a 5% jump in premiums from the start of July. To discuss this, I'm joined on the line by foremost expert Dermot Good from TotalHealthCover.ie. Dermot, good afternoon and good to talk to you.
Hi, Owen.
How much of a surprise was this, Dermot? Or, you know, if you had a crystal ball a couple of months ago, could this have been predicted?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I mean, to be honest, Owen, when they first increased their rates back in January, and then the others followed suit, VHI in March and Laya Healthcare in April, we were expecting that there was a risk of another increase, but not until maybe later in the year, October, November, December. It was a surprise to see a second increase being introduced so quickly after the first one. We haven't seen this type of increase activity for many years now. And I suppose when you look at their press release, really they're attributing this to a massive increase in both the volume and the quantum, the cost of claims, so and particularly from the private hospitals. So we can only assume from that people are going back in their droves now to get all those treatments and those major surgeries that maybe they postponed. We saw that the requirement to wear masks has now been lifted. So really the hospitals are back to normal. So yes, it will come as a shock to their members, because for anybody renewing in July, August, September, they're now faced with two increases coming their way. So there was an average of roughly 5% in January. Now another average of 5%, and on, as you and I have discussed previously, people need to be careful. The average might be 5%, but some plans in January went up by 9%. Mm. And if you add 5% on to that, now we haven't seen the full breakdown of the rates yet, but you know, consumers need to brace themselves possibly on certain plans for a double digit, 12, 13, 14% year-on-year increases. And all I would say to those consumers is that, look, you know, don't renew on those plans. You know, you don't have to. There are other deals. Like, for example, Irish Life have a range of plans called the Health Guide Schemes. And these are really good schemes, brand new. They didn't go up in January, and they're only going up by about 2.5%. So believe it or not, you still may be able to get a much better deal and save money with the current insurer. But you also have two other insurers as well, you know, with 330 plans between them to select from. The biggest mistake people will do here is do nothing, what we call auto renewals. And the insurance companies love those customers. So I would say to all of your listeners now, look, if what this really means is, if ever there was a reason to shop around, well, you now have it, because if you don't, you're going to end up paying significantly more. And the other thing, Owen, as well, and I hate to be, you know, a doom and gloom merchant here, but we saw VHI and Laya follow suit shortly after the first increase from Irish Life. To be fair to both of those insurers, they haven't made any noise yet about likely increases. But if you look at previous trends, they all tend to follow suit. And we have to assume that the same cost pressures that are forcing Irish Life Health to do this the second time, they must be impacting on the other insurance companies as well. So really, consumers need to brace themselves for potentially two increases across each of the insurance companies.
Mm. And just to go back to those reasons then that you touched on that Irish Life have given, it's because of increasing prices, because of a rise in the number of claims made, etc., etc. Some people would look at that a little bit sceptically, Dermot, and I'm not asking you to comment on that, but just from an optics point of view, two increases in the space of 6 or 7 months is quite tough, and people would be a little bit annoyed at that.
Oh, absolutely, and I can, you know, I would share that. I mean, and we have to sympathise with all consumers. I mean, unfortunately, well, fortunately for us, for the last 2 to 3 years, we've had really very little increases in health insurance, very moderate. In fact, last year, you remember, the insurance companies gave money back to people because they, you know, they'd either no increase or they gave money back because the level of claims coming through were well below. And now suddenly within 12 months, we're back into double-digit price hikes. So it is alarming. You know, I would say, and Owen, I don't defend these insurers. I would say any insurer who has to move twice in 7 months, that's not a decision that has to be taken lightly, because they have to accept that they could lose customers switching to other insurance companies. So, you know, people will not just sit on their hands and do nothing with this. But I think, you know, we're expecting the other insurance companies, they have to be coming under the same pressures, and we're expecting the other insurance companies to potentially follow suit, but not till later in the year. But you know what, consumers need to really, you know, get out there now and shop around. I mean, and I say this with the greatest of respect to older members, because I know they're afraid of change and, you know, they're using their policies. Excuse me, but you can't accept, like, a double-digit price increase could, you know, give a family a bill, an extra bill of 400 to 500 euro. That is a huge amount of money for a lot of people. So before you do that, all you do is you phone Irish Life Health at your next renewal, and you simply say to them, I can't afford that. Tell them what your budget is. So whether that's last year or the previous year, tell them what you have to spend. And the question is, do you have, you know, an equivalent plan that's similar to what I have now, but that fits that budget? And just sit back and let them go through all their plans and try and find something that suits. And if they do, fantastic. But if they don't, you phone the other two insurance companies with the same question and tell them what plan you have. But you know, the Irish psyche is to tell these insurance companies nothing. But with health insurance, tell them everything. But especially tell them what your budget is and stick to that budget. And I would say as well, once again to your listeners, anybody now who's thinking, I can't afford this, I'm going to cancel, please don't do that. There's loads of tactics that a good advisor, and there's loads of advisors around the country, but there's loads of ways that you can reduce your premium. You can split your cover. You can take on excesses. You can look at corporate plans. You can offload young adult dependents. There's loads of things you can do to bring that cost back down. But really, the last resort should be cancelling. But I'm afraid that there are some people now listening to this that have already done that. And now this increase is going to mean potentially they have to cancel. And that's something we never want to see.
Okay, there you go. So Irish Life increasing prices again by 5%. And as we know, and as Dermot said, VHI premiums increased by an average of 4.8% on the 1st of March. Leia's rates jumped by an average of 4.4% on the 1st of April. And followed now by this increase again by Irish Life, we may see those other providers increasing as well. The advice from Dermot, always deal directly with your provider first. But then Dermot, they can get in touch with you if needs be. totalhealthcover.ie.
Yeah, we will have all the deals as they come out. Every new plan, all the deals will be on the website there. People can go on to the free policy search and find information on them. And I suppose the best advice I can give people on is do a little bit of research before you phone the insurance companies. And then when you phone them, keep them on the phone until you get the plan that suits you. But the key thing is pick up the phone. And for any people now who really just don't have an appetite to do this, get somebody that you trust, a family member, somebody who loves engaging with insurance companies. Get them to do the heavy lifting for you, because these increases are just too much to just, you know, allow your cover to roll over.
Good advice. Dermot Good, totalhealthcover.ie. Thanks for your time, Dermot, and good afternoon to you. And yeah, I understand how hard that could be for somebody who has premiums and cover health insurance with Irish Life. Two increases over the course of this year, 4.5% in January, 5% now coming in at the start of July. And as Dermot predicted there, possibly we could see those other providers following suit.
Kildare Focus with Owen Beatty. Text or WhatsApp on 0833 97 97 97.
OK, welcome back to the programme now. A new Prader-Willi syndrome supported living service opens up in Monastrevin over the course of the next few weeks. There's an open day taking place this coming Saturday. And I'm joined in studio now by Lindsay Morehouse. She's Lemon Grove and Rose Lodge, which is the Prader-Willi syndrome specialist support living services, kind of person in charge there of those services. Lindsay, thanks for coming in to us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on.
So Prader-Willi syndrome then, it's something, and we were only talking there off air, that maybe it's, there's not a whole lot known about it. It can be misdiagnosed, you know, there's a lack of an understanding about what it actually is. So you might just tell us, first of all, a little bit about the condition.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a very rare genetic disorder. And because it is so rare, that's one of the main reasons that it can be misdiagnosed and isn't widely known about. But what it is, Prader-Willi syndrome affects chromosome 15. It affects roughly 1 in 12 to 15,000 births. And currently in Ireland, we have approximately 120 people who have Prader-Willi syndrome. So that kind of tells you a little bit of, about how rare it is. Mm. It can affect both male and female. I suppose to talk a little bit about what it would mean for somebody to have Prader-Willi syndrome. You know, usually when a baby is born with Prader-Willi syndrome, they can have poor muscle tone and that kind of floppy baby. They will have poor feeding. They will often have their hands and feet would be a lot smaller than you would expect to see. And if those are all present, it would be based on that. Then they would decide to do a genetic test and through a blood test. But obviously, it's not the same for everybody, and that's why sometimes it can get missed. As the person then develops and grows, you would expect to see some cognitive difficulties. Often they will have behavioural problems. Hyperphagia, which is overeating, is probably what's best associated with Prader-Willi syndrome. And what that means is the hypothalamus in the brain doesn't recognise when the body is full. So people who have Prader-Willi syndrome will just eat and eat and eat, and they can't control that, which is so difficult for them. Mm-hmm. They will often also have anxiety around their food. They can have hoarding tendencies, repetitive, obsessive, compulsive tendencies. It's a very wide range of symptoms that they will have associated with their Prader-Willi syndrome. But I think talking about that is one thing, but living with that is very different, because if you think about every family celebration you've ever had, you know, whether it's Christmas or birthdays or Halloween, Easter, it's always around food, you know, and what treats you're going to have. And it can be very difficult to manage that for somebody who has Prader-Willi syndrome when they obsess so much about food.
Indeed. And with yourselves then, so you have one facility down in Enniscorthy at the moment.
Yeah.
And now you're opening up a new facility then in Monastrevin. What kind of respite or help do you provide to families and to people with Prader-Willi syndrome?
Yeah, so Resilience Healthcare is the company that I work with. And, you know, they recognised early on the specific needs and requirements of individuals who have Prader-Willi syndrome. So almost 4 years ago now, we opened Lemongrove. And Lemongrove caters to 6 adults who have Prader-Willi syndrome. And they live with us on a full-time basis. And we have the correct environment and the correct multidisciplinary supports and medical supports in place so that they can live, you know, the best life that they can, and, you know, most independent. And because that worked so well, we've now decided to move on to our second Prader-Willi specific service, which is Monastrevin, which we're very excited about. And Monastrevin will have 4 self-contained apartments, and we'll have 4 people living there, all who have Prader-Willi syndrome. So we're actually having our open day on this Saturday, because May is International Prader-Willi Syndrome Awareness Month. So we have a fun day arranged for Saturday with lots of entertainment, and we linked in with the Prader-Willi Association of Ireland, and in conjunction with them, we've invited families who have children or adults with Prader-Willi syndrome to come along on Saturday and spend a day with us, so that we can show them what our services look like, and so that they can kind of see what they might expect in the future.
Yeah, I was having a read as well before we spoke this afternoon, and I know that Harvey Price, Katie Price's son, has Prader-Willi syndrome, and she's been very open about the kind of challenges that brings, but it might just put it into people's minds kind of how Prader-Willi syndrome affects families and the person themselves. So a little bit more then about the centre in Maynooth. It's out in the Quinsborough area, is it?
In Monastrevin, yes. So it's in the Quinsborough area.
Okay.
Not too far outside of the village. So we have, as I said, our official open day on Saturday, and then we will hopefully open and start welcoming our residents then within the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so the fun day then, you say, what time does it start off, and when can people start arriving?
It's from 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Great stuff.
And then our next endeavour, I suppose, again, moving on from the residential side of things, we will be opening a Prader-Willi specific respite service in Athy later this year. And that will be a national service specifically for children and adults who have Prader-Willi syndrome. So that will be designed to, you know, allow the individuals who have the Prader-Willi syndrome to have a little holiday and a break, but also to allow the families to have that little bit of time to relax before they have to gear up to look after their loved ones again.
Okay, and in terms of how it's managed then, the condition itself, is there a lot of hospital visits, kind of consultants visits, medication, etc.?
Yeah, so there are a lot of clinical needs around somebody with Prader-Willi syndrome, you know, because of the hyperphagia, which is the overeating. You know, if that's not managed correctly, obviously it can lead to obesity. A lot of our individuals, actually all of our individuals, would attend the endocrinologists up in Talla, which would look after their hormones. A lot of them would take growth hormones. Diabetes is quite common. Hematology, then, if there's a lot of weight, then there's a risk of blood clotting. You might be attending a respiratory consultant again if there's weight issues. And then the multidisciplinary support as well that has to go in there is huge. We work very, very closely with a dietitian, a behaviour specialist. We would have physio appointments, chiropody appointments. We would work closely as well with the OT and SLT, the speech and language as required. But it takes like all of those professionals and individuals together with the teams that work in the houses to create the right environment and structure for that person to thrive.
And finally then, is there more awareness and people kind of understanding the condition a lot more now from, you know, obviously interviews like this, the fact that you're opening up new centres and expanding around the place, that people are starting to get a better understanding?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's the type of syndrome that, you know, the people that we support are amazing. And, you know, when you see how hard they work to, you know, achieve the things that we take for granted, you can't help but admire. And I think as well, the Prader-Willi Association of Ireland have been doing great work to push the area and the knowledge that's around the syndrome. And actually last year we had the International Prader-Willi Syndrome, the international conference was here in Limerick. So that was a huge achievement for the Association of Ireland to bring that here. And we had people from all over the world who have Prader-Willi Syndrome here in Ireland for that conference. It was amazing.
Well, the very best of luck with the new centre opening up. It's a supported living service for people with Prader-Willi Syndrome, opening up in the Quinsborough area of Monastrevin on Saturday afternoon. The open day is between 11 and 2. Lindsay, thanks indeed for coming in to us. And of course, people can get more information on your website and also on the Prader-Willi Association's website as well.
Perfect. Thanks a million, Owen.
Thank you. Now, a new wellbeing programme to combat loneliness and isolation and to support older people to become more aware of and prioritise their mental health has been launched by Active Retirement Ireland. Funded by Mental Health Ireland, the programme will be delivered by Active Retirement, which is the country's largest membership organisation for older people. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by its CEO, Maureen Kavanagh. Maureen, good afternoon. Good afternoon and good to talk to you.
Good afternoon.
So this was launched over the last few days up in Sligo at your AGM. What was the reason, first of all, for setting it up, Maureen?
Well, as everyone knows and the country knows, in March 2020, Active Retirement Ireland, which is a national network and membership organisation of pre-COVID 550 local active retirement associations run by older people and for older people with 24,000 members, come March 2020, everything shut down. And those that were aged over 70 found themselves under very severe restrictions from a health perspective. So that lasted across the organisation until well into 2021, when restrictions being lifted and groups started to come back slowly. But we found that the impact of those long lockdowns had a major impact on older people's mental health, impacted on their loneliness, their social isolation, their removal from their social networks. And as we get older, 2 years was a long time for that to happen. So we looked as an organisation, how can we best support older people to get back out there into their communities and back into their local groups, back into being the active participants that they always were. And we decided, well, the best way to go about this is to ask older people themselves, what is it that you did and what is it that you want to do that will bring you back out into your social networks, that will allow you back out into the community, that will allow you to feel safe and secure, and also to return to some sort of normality where you can laugh, you can stress less. And that's how we developed this toolkit. We consulted with older members. We had a steering group made up of older people, and they developed this wellbeing toolkit, which is literally a resource that people, older people, can take, bring into their groups and say, which bit of this suits us? Is it physical activity that we need to do? Is it social networking? What is it that makes us feel good about ourselves again after such a horrendous experience of COVID?
We'll elaborate in a moment on that toolkit because I think it's great. But even if you think of those groups, you know, whether it's bingo, bowls, knitting, going out for walks, a Wednesday club, a Tuesday club, whatever kind of club it is, that kind of social interaction and socialising is so important for all ages, you know, from the time you're 6 months old up until you're 106. We all need that.
Oh, absolutely. And international and national research clearly shows that social connections are the most important way of reducing isolation, loneliness, and just building up your confidence and your connectedness within your community, within your friends. It's really, really crucial. And for a lot of older people, your social networks tend to close down. For people who retire from the workplace, the social networks that they would have created tend to close down. So as we go through different phases of our life, our social networks change. But as we get older, we need to be very conscious of the types of social networks that we do need to have in play, you know, in order for us to have good quality of life as we age.
And just reading here, and as I understand that the programme is focused on connection, feelings of purpose and meaning, friendship through exercises, activities, discussions, all of the above. So how will it actually work in real terms, Maureen?
Well, all of the above there that you described, that is what active retirement associations do every single time they meet. So everything that's in the toolkit is based on what active retirement groups do on a regular basis in order to engage with their members. So there's nothing different about this. The difference for this is that we've now framed it in a wellbeing toolkit, and we are now calling on older people themselves to come forward to volunteer, to be trained as facilitators, to be able to bring back what's in the toolkit into their groups of older people. So we're now want to put in place a peer-led facilitation programme that will be able to pull parts of the toolkit and bring those into their groups, and it's very much be older person-led, peer-led.
Is there going to be training provided then from Active Retirement Ireland, or what way does that work, Maureen?
Yes, at the moment, our first steps at the moment is that we have some funding still from Mental Health Ireland to deliver the first phase of facilitated training with our consultants, OMRA, on this. And then obviously after that, we will evaluate that training, see how it goes. And yes, we will then be looking to get the government and the Department of Health to support us to continue to broaden and develop this programme out across the whole country as a programme of health and wellbeing for all of us as we age.
Well, it's a great idea, a great toolkit. I wish you the very best of luck with it. And if associations, say, in Kildare, want to get in touch with yourselves and find out more about it, how can they do so?
They can contact the National Office of Active Retirement Ireland at 01-8733-836 and ask about the health, the wellbeing toolkit, or they can visit our website at activeirl.com. ireland.ie.
Will you call out that number for me again, Maureen, because my pen was on the ground and I didn't get time to pick it up quick enough. So will you do it again, please?
The phone number of the National Office is 01 873 3836.
Perfect. Have that. Thanks indeed. Just in case anyone rings in and is looking for it afterwards, to pass it on to them. Maureen Kavanagh, CEO of Active Retirement Ireland, a new wellbeing programme to combat loneliness and isolation launched by the organisation. Thanks for your time, Maureen, and good afternoon to you. And just to give out the number again, it's 01 873 3836. And yeah, the pen was on the ground when Maureen started calling it out, but we've got there in the end and we have the number for you. Bad news if you're an ABBA fan, because I just see here that ABBA have ruled out a reunion for their 50th anniversary. Now that's a surprise, because as we know, Sweden won the Eurovision this year. The Eurovision next year has to be held in Sweden, which ties in with the 50th anniversary of ABBA. I would have put my life on it that there was going to be an ABBA reunion. But anyway, we're told that the Eurovision competition will be in Sweden, half a century on from when the Swedish quartet won the competition. But speaking to BBC Newsnight, Benny and Bjorn from the group has said that a physical reunion won't be happening.
Seriously? No. No way. It's the same for all four of us. Someone says no, it's a no.
Yeah. They could celebrate 50 years of ABBA without us being on stage.
Right, so no physical reunion for ABBA, it would seem. Still, I'm not sure. I think some ABBA hopefuls might be thinking that they're going to surprise us all on the night of the Eurovision, but that's what Benny and Bjorn have said. Just to bring you up to date then on some of the road closures around Kildare. We mentioned these a little bit earlier on Kildare today. Road resurfacing works carried out on the R414 Mount Rice to Tully Lust between Rathangan and Monastrevin today. A road closure is in place for the duration of today. Diversion routes are also in place and are clearly signposted. If we go then out towards the Dunedee area, the road there, the L1017 Deriva Rogue, is being resurfaced for around the next week or so until the 31st of May, which is next Wednesday. Traffic management in the form of a road closure is in place. Diversion routes clearly signposted. Delays to be expected there. And then out in the Punchestown area, Beggar's End Crossroads up around Baltracy, that road is closed for the next couple of weeks. The works are being carried out until Friday the 2nd of June between 8am and 6pm, and the road will be closed to traffic with local access only. And I know that's quite a busy road for people maybe using the back roads to get out onto the M7 up there around Kilteel and Castle Warden, so just keep that in mind.
Kildare Focus with Owen Beattie.
Okay, it's one of the big stories today regarding Fine Gael ministers who apparently, in their recent newspaper article, called for a budget tax break of €1,000 for the average worker. Well, on that, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment Simon Coveney has said he doesn't believe that Fine Gael junior ministers intended to upset anyone with their recent newspaper article. He said that Jennifer Carroll McNeill, Martin Hayden and Peter Burke were reflecting the Fine Gael policy, which he also supports. He said, when the economy is growing, we should give what many people call the squeezed middle a break from a tax point of view. Mr. Coveney said, being in coalition does not mean the political parties are the same. He says nobody is bullying anyone. Taoiseach and Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin accused the three junior ministers of undermining the budgetary process. He described their newspaper article as unhelpful, and he has assured his party that Minister for Finance Michael McGrath has overall responsibility for the budgetary process, and he will ensure that he gets the space to do his job, saying the public would expect no less. Well, James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, said that Fine Gael need to cool the jets on tax cuts. He says there's division in the coalition after Fine Gael ministers made public demands this week for tax cuts in the budget, and he says his coalition partners, Fine Gael, should be wary of promising too much.
We saw the ill-fated reign of Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng, kind of Tory tax-cutting agenda with full zeal launched in a budget, and that all ended in tears for all involved. So look, let's hope we don't see the same rush of blood to the heads here, and hopefully everybody will just cool their jets.
Now, on tomorrow morning's Kildare Today at 9.25, I'll be joined by Fine Gael TD Martin Hayden to give his point of view and why he put his name or wrote that article. And also we'll be joined by James Lawless to get his view and why he thinks Fine Gael need to cool the jets. So make sure to join in to Kildare Today tomorrow morning at 9.25. Now, passengers expecting to fly from Dublin Airport this week and this weekend are being warned that all car parks are sold out, with the earliest availability for long-term parking being on the 30th of May. Dublin Airport operator the DAA has said that passengers who don't have an existing booking should consider alternative options like bus services, taxis or a lift from friends or relatives for getting to and from the airport. I'm joined on the line now by Owen Corry, editor of the Air and Travel magazine. Good afternoon to you, Owen. You might just explain to us what exactly is going on here.
Oh, a crisis waiting to happen, Owen, and it will continue during the summer. During the pandemic, in one line, during the pandemic, one of the major car parks, it's a private car park operated by Quick Park, listeners will remember it, that ceased to function. It's no longer available, and they are missing those 4,500 car park spaces very badly. Caused a few problems last summer, but now people are travelling in numbers very close to the pre-pandemic levels of 2019. When you consider 2019, Dublin Airport processed 32 million passengers.
Just looking here then at the airport's website for parking, it shows that the earliest booking that can be made for long-term parking is the 30th of May, which is next Tuesday. So anybody planning on going on holidays over the weekend, be it even for a couple of days, can't park at the airport.
That's exactly it. What Dublin Airport did in previous years was, during the summer of last year, when they were in a little bit of trouble, was they blocked off car parking. Some people arrived then that hadn't pre-booked. They were allowed to come in because they just kept a rudimentary, a very basic level of spaces. I'm not sure they can continue operating like that. What they have said is if they're given the capacity to operate that Quick Park facility, which they purchased, they can get it up and running for the summer. But there are regulatory hurdles to be overcome first. Regulatory hurdles are not helping the case for the passengers who are now faced with, well, where do I leave a car if I'm going away? Because public transport facilities in Dublin Airport are famously poor.
Well, on that note, we've had a message in as well, just asking then, where are we in terms of Dublin Airport saying that they were going to charge for drop-offs? What's the latest on that?
The drop-offs was not introduced. It was quite controversial. They did get planning permission for it. So they are in a position that they can start charging without going back to the regulators. There's no real visibility of when they'll start doing it, but it's very unlikely they'll do it in the current crisis. And it's very unlikely they'll do it during the busy summer months.
I was also reading figures regarding missed flights in 2022. Over 1,000 passengers missed their flights due to huge queues forming outside the airport prior to the June bank holiday weekend, which of course is coming up, and a lot of us will remember those pictures and videos that we saw on the news. Are we likely to see that again this summer?
Very unlikely we'll have missed flights because of security queues. We had 550 staff employed, and it is the anniversary. It was the end of May, it was the second meltdown. We did a meltdown the end of March as well. That number is now well over 700. Security queues won't be the problem, but there are other problems, legacy problems that we saw last summer, including the whole baggage issue and the baggage issue through the major transfer airports such as Heathrow. Toronto was a bad offender. Amsterdam was a bad offender as well.
And finally then, Owen, before I let you go, because I know you're just about to get on a flight yourself over in the States, but what about that public transport issue then? You've travelled all around the world. Dublin Airport, famously hard to get in and out of because of public transport.
Indeed. Every airport, major capital city airport in Dublin, has a metro. Dublin does not. I remember being told it would be finished by 2008. The last date I heard from staff was 2030. Bus system, you know, Air Coach is the best known of about 9 or 10 operators. There is an airport hopper that operates out of Maynooth in the north of the county. Works quite well, but people arriving in Dublin Airport expect a metro. If you don't know your way around Ireland, it is a big problem.
Okay, well, on that note, we'll leave it there. That is Owen Curry, of course, from ArdClock, but speaking to us from the United States, editor of Air and Travel. And the news there is that if you're planning on going away over the next few days, you won't be able to park up at Dublin Airport. Keep an eye on the website for how it materialises over the next week or thereabouts. But as I say, a quick look at the website earlier shows that the earliest booking that can be made for long-term parking is the 30th of May.